Amen. I'm so excited for the privilege of being back in Phillips Chapel. I didn't know I was going to be here Tuesday. I found out that my plans for this week changed, and I emailed Pastor Ben, and within a few minutes, he said, yeah, please come. So I'm so thankful. I didn't know if I was going to get to be here during this six-month stateside assignment, but I'm so thankful that it worked out. And today was a first for me. I've never, whenever a pastor is saying something good about me, I've never had the drummer do the ba-dum-ba thing in the back. I always expect it, but it's never happened before. So that was, I like that a lot. If you wouldn't mind going to the next slide, I'm really sorry my family couldn't be with me today. My wife, Lydia, my daughters, Naomi, Phoebe, Zoe, and our young son, Malachi. They're 9, 7, 5, and 3. Zoe and Malachi both have kind of the throw-uppy fevery. I don't know if it's a flu or what's going on, but please be praying for our kids as they are back in Southeast Missouri this morning. If you'll go to the next one, we are your church-planting missionaries in the southeastern European country of Bulgaria. So Bulgaria is a pretty small country. It's actually smaller even than the state of Arkansas. Its population is pretty high. It's got about a population of about 7 million. If you go to the next slide, even though it's a small country, it's a country with a vast natural beauty. If you'll go to the next one, it's not only a country of natural beauty, but it's a country of a deep history. This hill in the background, this was the citadel that was the capital of Bulgaria 700 or 800 years ago. And the city where we're going to be living, there's this massive monument that was erected in commemoration of the 1300th anniversary of the foundation of the nation of Bulgaria. And the town where we had been living in Svishtov, the clock tower is older than the United States of America. Bulgaria is a country with a rich history. If you go to the next slide, it's also a country of a rich Christian history. This is now just a museum, but 500 years ago, this was a functioning church. And even though maybe the art on the walls and the ceilings isn't to my taste, the reason it was there is that this was a functioning church before Gutenberg's printing press. So in other words, whenever this church was made, there were no pew Bibles, because a copy of the Bible took months and months to copy. And so the church had one copy, and the pastor would be reading from God's Word, and as he'd be telling stories in the Old Testament or even teaching doctrine, he'd be able to point out the particular paintings on the walls and on the ceilings. Like, this is the story I'm talking about from God's Word. Bulgaria has a rich history, but unfortunately, they've fallen so far spiritually since that time 500 years ago. If you'll go to that next slide, Bulgaria is a country of a rich culture, and you can keep going. We see some things there that we just don't see anymore in America. And this next slide shows some of the amazing food of Bulgaria. If we had hours, we could talk about some of the amazing foods that we tried on a regular basis. The next slide. And if you'll go one more, Bulgaria is a country of Christian history, but now the word that springs to my mind is it's a country of religiosity. It's a country of religious traditions. You see, Bulgaria is dominated by the Bulgarian Orthodox Church. And in the Bulgarian Orthodox Church, what happens is, see, Bulgaria is a religious country. A recent poll showed that 94% of Bulgarians think that when you have a problem, it's a good thing to go into the church and pray. 94%. 90% of Bulgarians have been baptized. I don't think 90% of Americans have been baptized. Now, granted, we're talking about infant baptism, but 90% have been baptized. 55% of Bulgarians consider themselves to be godly people. So you might be wondering, why on earth are we sending missionaries to a country like that, where over half of people already view themselves as godly? Well, unfortunately, the statistics go downhill really fast. You see, 94% of Bulgarians think that prayer is a good thing, but only 26% of Bulgarians are convinced that God exists. You might be thinking, that's some fuzzy math. Something's not adding up here. In other words, 3/4 of people who go into church and pray are not sure if anyone is on the other end of the line listening to their prayer. But this is religion in Bulgaria. In the Bulgarian Orthodox Church, there's no need for pews because there's no concept of a regular gathering of the saints. The church is the place you go when you have a problem and you need to say a prayer. So you go into the church, and the first thing you see is to your right, there is what's essentially like a little shop. And there at that shop, you can buy some religious icons of different saints, or you can buy these candles. And you buy a candle, and you go in, and you're surrounded by icons of different saints. And you choose the saint that you want to pray to, and you go up and you kiss the icon, You pay homage to the saint, and then you light the candle and you say a prayer, and hopefully God, through that saint, will hear your prayer. If you got a big problem, then what you do is you go pay the priest some extra money, and he'll say a prayer on your behalf. In the Bulgarian Orthodox Church, even though today fewer than half of Bulgarians believe in heaven and hell, there's this concept that if heaven exists, then to get there, you got to do this list. You got to light your candles, you got to say your prayers, you got to keep all your fast days, you've got to go to church on the religious holidays. They've got a list. And every religion on earth, save biblical Christianity, has a list. Muslims have a list. You got to say your five prayers a day. In Arabic, even though you don't know Arabic, most world Muslims don't know Arabic, you've got to go to Mecca once in your lifetime on a pilgrimage. You got to give your alms to the poor. You got to go to the mosque every Friday. You got to do these different things. They got a list. Buddhists have a list. Jehovah's Witnesses have a list. Do you think they knock on your door because they love you? No, they have a list. This is part of their, I'm not joking, this is part of their list. Every religion has a list. Although in evangelical Christianity, our list has one item: faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For you have been saved by grace through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." Why do we not have a list? Because our God is not pleased by lists. Our God is not pleased by our good works, by our righteousness. Because the Bible says, Isaiah the prophet says, that our righteousness is like filthy rags. We're simply not good enough. But praise God, Jesus Christ is good enough. And he came and he lived and he died and he rose again. And he's coming back someday for those who believe in him. And this is what we are there preaching, that we are saved by grace through faith. So I think you would all agree with me that our salvation is free. This is the cornerstone. This is the cornerstone of the Protestant Reformation. We celebrated 500 years a couple months ago. The cornerstone of the Protestant Reformation is salvation is by grace through faith. It's free. But the other side of that is that salvation is not cheap. And here's what I mean by that. Your salvation will cost you something. One thing your salvation will cost you is we can no longer live for our own selfish fleshly desires. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, "If any man would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For if any man would save his life, he will lose it. But if any man would lose his life for my sake, he will find it." He must deny himself. You see, part of being a Christian is I can't just do the things that my sinful flesh wants anymore. Being a Christian means saying no to my fleshly desires and saying yes to God's way. Being a Christian also has the cost of persecution. Jesus promised us this. He promised, he said, "Blessed are you when men revile you and curse you for my sake." Because that's the exact same thing they did to the prophets who came before you. Jesus promised that if you trust in him, there are some people in this world that are going to hate you. And this has been the story in almost every country for the last 2,000 years. In some ways, the 20th century American church is the little asterisk to this rule. Because in many ways, we were spared from what global Christianity has faced for millennia. It seems, unfortunately, that the protective bubble we've had around us is quickly evaporating. We're beginning to see persecution and pressure being turned up on those who live by God's word. But in Bulgaria, this is how it's always been. This has been for generations. So in a few minutes, you're going to hear some stories of people from our church in Svishtov. Know that these people have paid a price. There's people in our church. There's a guy whose wife thinks he's crazy for coming. There's some women whose husbands hate the fact that they come to church. There's a lady who wants to come, but her husband said he would divorce her if she ever comes to our church. There's children whose parents think they're crazy. Parents whose children think they're crazy. There are teachers in our church who their principal has told them, "We know what church you go to, and if you ever try anything here, you're fired." This is what it's like being a follower of Christ in the religious country of Bulgaria. If you go to the next slide, for the past 2.5 years, we've been serving God as your church planters in the city of Svishtov, city about 25,000 people, on the northern border of Bulgaria. So that's the Danube River. Every day you'd see across into the country of Romania. If you go to the next slide, we've been privileged to serve in New Life Real Baptist Church in Svishtov, Bulgaria. But see, this picture is a little bit misleading because this is not actually a picture of our church. If you go to the next slide, this is a picture of our church. Do you see the difference in those two pictures? That is a big difference. That first picture, that's where we meet. But this is our church. You see, you guys have a beautiful building, but this is not Phillips Chapel. This is. And knowing the difference is a huge theological issue. Because in Bulgaria, this is not the church. In Bulgaria, the building is the church. The building, the church is the big building in the middle of town with the high steeple, with the pretty sounding bells, where you go in and you kiss your icons, you light your candles, and you say your prayers. This is church in Bulgaria. So whenever people visit our church for the first time, like their eyes go wide as they notice that, one, our walls are not covered in icons. There's no candle lighting station in our church. But not only that, they notice that there are rows of chairs where people gather together, because remember, in Bulgaria, church is an individual thing. You go and you have a problem. But here, the saints gather together, and then the service starts, and then we do something really weird. All of a sudden, we all stand up and start singing together. Isn't that strange? Who does that? We start singing together, and then after we sing, the pastor gets up and opens God's word and begins teaching in a modern, understandable Bulgarian language. In the Bulgarian Orthodox Church, whenever they have these religious services, it's all this liturgy where they use centuries-old Bulgarian that no one speaks anymore. And besides that, the priest sings the prayers instead of speaks. So they know the pastor's doing this. And then sometimes after the service, we like each other so much that we eat lunch together. Sometimes we stay and we're just talking. Sometimes in the middle of the week, we get together and we study God's word together. We pray together. Sometimes we just get together and have coffee because we like each other. So I want you guys to know something. If you were in Bulgaria today, you would be weird because of what you're doing this morning. But we praise God for that weirdness. And our mission is to start families of God, church families in Bulgaria. Because in Bulgaria, there is no concept of church family. Church is the building where you go when you have a problem and you say a prayer. But we know that church is the gathering of those who have bent their knee to Jesus Christ, who come together on a regular basis and worship the risen King. So for a few minutes, I want to share with you some stories of a few people in our church family. If you go to the next slide, this is your brother and one of my best friends on earth. His name is Radostein, Roddy. Roddy first came to our church about 18 months ago. He had come to Christ 10 years ago while going to university in a different city. But he came back to Svishtov, his hometown. He ended up in our church, and this guy, since the day he walked in, he has been helping in almost every capacity possible. He is really good at English. Actually, his profession is he's a Bulgarian teaching English with a Taiwanese company to Chinese students. So I don't know how he keeps all that straight, but this is what he does. Is he teaches online. So his work's really flexible. So one thing he does, on Sunday mornings, we have some English speakers come, and he translates for them. He's got a little headset, and they're wearing their little earpieces, and he does that. And he teaches one of our English clubs. He's there every time whenever we have our midweek Bible studies. He's always there helping lead that. He's been helping lead the Bible study, the English-speaking Bible study in the village of Budovo. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. Our church, since we left, has just started a Sunday afternoon youth group, and he's now helping lead that. This guy, he's helping literally five different times a week in five different services. And in the year and a half he's been serving alongside with us, he's only missed two different events because of sickness. The guy is so faithful. We're so thankful for him. And he's going to pop back into the story here in a little bit. If you go to the next slide, this lady here with the white hair looking at the receipt in front of her, sitting next to the lady with the baby, her name is Baba Danchi. So Baba is Bulgarian for grandma. And I think maybe because Sister Neil has done such a good job keeping you all informed, you guys might have heard a little bit about her in the past. But Baba Danche, we met her for the first time a little bit over a year ago. In our family, we had gone out for a walk, as we often did. Walking for us was a great way to meet people. And we were coming back, and we were approaching the entrance to our apartment building, and we see this lady who we never met before standing on the sidewalk grinning really big. And as we approach her, she says, "I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time." She said, "I've been watching your family and you've got these four little kids. See, in Switched-Off, a city of 25,000, we were the only family with four kids. Big families are rare in Bulgaria. We only know like one or two families have three kids even. So having four kids, so she's like, you got these four little kids, and you move them from America all the way to Bulgaria. What on earth? But your kids, they seem really well-behaved, and they seem really happy to be here. And I would just love to get to know your family better. So it was nothing we did. We were going for a walk. She stopped us. But she said, would you do me the honor of coming to your house, of coming to my house this Friday for supper? That never happens. As a pastor in Texas with a big family, we never got invited over to people's house. It's a big thing inviting people over with a lot of kids. But she said, I want to invite your family over. The first time she'd ever met us. So I give her my business card so she'll have my information. And we go there that Friday, and at dinner, she says, so I notice your business card says pastor. What is all that about? And so we got to explain, here's what our church is, here's what we're doing here, here's what it means to be a pastor. This is why we are in Bulgaria. See, praise God, we live in a country with a high degree of religious freedom. We don't have to tell people we're English teachers, we don't have to tell people we're businessmen or anything. No, we tell people we are here making disciples and planting churches. This is why we're here in Bulgaria. So we tell her about the church, and she says, you know, that sounds really interesting. And I want to be clear, I'm not looking to join or anything. But would it be okay if I just visited your church sometime and just saw what you did there? And I, like a good sarcastic missionary, said, no, you can't come to our church. Why would you think you could just come like that? And she said, okay, I'll be there Sunday. And she came. And she came again. And she came again. And every time she's hearing the gospel, we make a point that if we're meeting together, the gospel must be preached. So she's hearing the gospel. Then she starts coming to our Tuesday night Bible study. It was meeting around our kitchen table. And one Tuesday night, we're having Bible study, and we're in the book of James, and in answering a question, Roddy gives just a really clear presentation of the gospel. This is what it means, that we are saved by grace through faith, but that true faith is demonstrated by good works. Looking at James chapter 2, in Baba Donji, after he explained the gospel, said, for the first time in my life, I understand the gospel, and I believe it. You see, that night, she became your sister in Christ. Realistically, unless you come visit us in Bulgaria, and there's an open invitation, but realistically, you're probably not going to meet her down here. But if you know Jesus Christ, you will meet her someday, because she is now your sister in Christ. Fast forward a year or two, and we go to Baba Danche's house. We got back here at the end of October, like the week before we left Bulgaria. We went back to her house one more time to spend some time with our dear friend, our dear grandma to our kids. And Baba Danche said, you know, before I met your family, I was lonely. She's actually got two kids, but both of her grown kids have moved to Austria to find work. A lot of Bulgarians have left the country looking for work overseas. So she said, before I met your family, I was lonely. But then I met you guys and I had friends. And then I met God. And now, even though your family's leaving, I know I'm not by myself anymore. Our first Sunday not in Bulgaria, Baba Danche stood up and gave her testimony in church. And she praised God for saving her from her sins. She praised God for bringing her into a church family that loves her and likes her, likes spending time with her. Her life has been turned upside down by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful for what God is doing in her life. And we have other stories like this, stories where it's not even about what our family was doing. People would come up to us and talk to us, and that would lead to them becoming involved in church and hearing the gospel and accepting the gospel. This is what happens when you pray for your missionaries. We didn't do anything. We were walking down the street, and Baba Danche sought us out. This is what happens when churches pray. God arranges these things where we don't get the credit. We didn't do anything, but he gets the credit. He is the hero of that story. One of the most vivid examples of this is in the village of Budovo. So Budovo is this village about 30 miles south of Switched-Off, and in a long series of coincidences that were kind of outside of our control, we became acquainted with with a family. The husband's English, and the mother and the son, they're Irish. If you go to the next slide, we met the son at a church camp. He trusted in Christ at church camp. Then we invited the entire family to go to our church retreat in the mountains. And the husband, he came, but he had literally just arrived in Bulgaria a couple days before that. The mother and son, he had been in the military. He was retiring out of the military. The mother and son had lived in Bulgaria for a year. And the wife, she trusts in Christ at our church retreat. The husband was not yet a believer. But I went to them on the last day of the conference, because thinking, you know, at this point, we'd only been in the country for a couple months. My Bulgarian was not good enough to lead Bible studies or preach or anything like that in Bulgarian. But my English is okay. So I went to this couple, and I said, so I would love for the privilege of coming to your house once a week and leading a Bible study in your home. We've got this 12-week Bible study. It's called Meeting Jesus. Just goes through the basics of who is Jesus of Nazareth. What does the Bible teach us about him? I would love to come into your house and do this Bible study with you. And they said, let us think about it. So they came back to me right before they left, and they said, okay, so we want to do this, but we do have one question. Is it okay if we invite some of our friends? Yes, I was not sarcastic that day. I said, yes, of course you can. Please do. And that is how the Bible study in the little village of Budovo was born, because Budovo is this village of 800 people. But for whatever reason, there are several English families who have come from different parts of the English-speaking world and have found themselves in this village. And a few of these families are interested in learning more about God. So there's a wife from South Africa. Her husband's from England, but she's from South Africa. She's a lady wearing the blue scarf. That's her mother sitting next to her. The mother and daughter have been Christians for many years, but have been out of church for a long time. Her husband in the red shirt, he's not yet a Christ follower. The guy next to him, Matthew, he's the teenager to the Trust in Christ at church camp. Sorry for the picture quality. All the other slides in the picture, all other slides were taken by other people. These are the pictures taken by me. This lady down here, crouched low, her name is Angie. She was raised in a Catholic background, but about a year ago, she also became a follower of Christ. And then her husband, whose name is Pete. So there's three grown men in the Bible study. All three are named Pete. I think it's very confusing. Her husband, who's also Pete, he's sitting there in the white shirt. Less than a year ago, he considered himself to be agnostic, and he basically just came because his wife drug him along with her. But he now also is a follower of Christ. So we're so excited about what God is doing in this little group. And listen, guys, this Bible study is most likely never going to be huge. We're talking about literally a few English-speaking families that happen to live in this little village. But this little group, so it started out as a 12-week Bible study. And praise God, over 2 years later, it's still going strong. They weren't ready to be done. Over time, we began to add in music to our studies. We began to sing together. We began to pray for one another, to encourage one another. We began to collect funds to further God's kingdom together. And over time, what the group began to realize was that as we study in the New Testament, what does it mean to be a church? They realized, my goodness, we do everything that a church does. I guess that means we're a church. We also take communion together. This picture is hard to tell, but no one's wearing shoes, because that picture, for the second time, we did communion and foot washing together. So this little group, they're no longer the Bible study in Budovo. This is the house church in Budovo. We're so thankful for the way that God is using them. It's a little group, and there are challenges. One challenge is that no one in the group speaks Bulgarian at a fluent level. But last year, for the first time, we decided as a group to participate in Operation Christmas Child. So a lot of churches in America, you guys give boxes. We in Bulgaria receive boxes. So last year, under my leadership, the group did Christmas parties in two different villages. So we did one in the village of Budovo, and then one in another village a ways away. And I was really excited about that. I was excited about the group taking that first step. So that was last year, whenever I was guiding them in that. This year, we're leaving at the end of October, and I told them, I said, guys, I encourage you to do this, but I'm not going to be here to help you. So all the planning, everything has to be done by you guys. I said, okay. So I asked him a few weeks later, so what did you guys decide to do? He said, well, this year we're going to do parties in four different villages. So last year, with missionary assistance, they did two, and as soon as the missionary leaves, they do four. This is how it goes, right? But I'm so excited about the way that God is using this group. So this year, in four different villages, they went and they shared the Christmas story, they shared the gospel, they gave out these boxes that have essentially they're books that describe the life of Christ in them. Over 150 people heard the gospel, many of them for the first time, because this little group of 7, 8, 9 people went to these different places and shared with them the reason for the hope that lies within them. So realistically, this is never going to be a huge group, but I expect this to be a healthy multiplying group. This is the kind of group that we want to see plant groups in other parts of Bulgaria. So excited about the way that God has used them. If you'll go to the next slide. This is Pete and Jasmine, the couple whose home we met in whenever we first started. Now we rotate to three different homes. If you go to the next slide. So that's what we've been doing for the past 2.5 years. 2 years and 4 months, to be exact. We've been in the city of Sistov, which that red dot is farthest to the north. That was where the first church in Bulgaria, first Real Baptist Church in Bulgaria, was planted in 2011. The second church was in the seaside city of Varna, a city of about 350,000 people. That church was planted in 2013. And so the last time I was here 3.5 years ago now, I was really excited to tell you about how we had two churches in Bulgaria. That was exciting because before that we'd had one, and before that we'd had zero. We had two. Now I'm really excited to tell you about the four churches we've got in Bulgaria. So now we've got the house church in Budovo, which is the red dot to the south of Sistov. And now in 2016, Jonathan and Amy Postlewaite relocated from Sistov to begin a new church planting work in the city of Pleven. That's the red dot, the farthest to the west. And just a few months ago, in late 2017, they'd been doing like a Bible study with some university students, a Bible study, like a kids club. They'd had an English club and different stuff they were doing. They had a Bible study with a widow and her two sons. But for the first time a few months ago, they tied it all together into a worship service in their apartment. So really, we are just now on the cusp of being able to talk about your four churches in the country of Bulgaria. That's exciting. That's the kind of multiplication we are aiming for. And so we're excited about four, but we're not content with four. We want to see a lot more churches be planted in the coming years and decades. So this green dot, this is the city of Schumann. So why are we looking at going to Schumann? Well, you might remember several years ago when we came that we talked about how we feel called to go to Bulgaria, but specifically we feel called to plant churches among in areas of the country where there are a high percentage of Turkish-speaking Muslims. So Bulgaria is a country of 7 million, but there are about 600,000 Turks in Bulgaria. So among the country as a whole, there's about 1% evangelical, but among the Turkish population, it's 1 out of 10,000, 1% of 1%. Very few people sharing the gospel among any of these 600,000 people, only two known churches among this people group. And most of the Turks in Bulgaria are clustered around the southern border, near the border with Turkey. Makes sense. But for whatever reason, there's a northern pocket of Bulgaria where there's about 200,000 Bulgarian Turks, and the largest city in this pocket is the city of Schumann. So if you go to the next slide, this is an aerial shot of the city of Schumann. That huge monument there that's closer to the camera, that's that big monument that was erected in honor of 1,300 years of the nation of Bulgaria. So this picture encompasses about three-quarters of the city of Schumann. There's a little bit further off to the left that you can't see. But here's something crazy about the city of Schumann. If you could zoom in and look really carefully at each building in this picture, you would find hundreds of houses. You would find hundreds of big apartment buildings. Probably at least 50 or 60,000 people live in this picture. You would find dozens of schools and preschools. You would find banks and restaurants and supermarkets. Everything you'd expect to find in a city of 80,000 people. Except, if you looked at every building in this picture, you would not find a single church. There are no churches in this picture. Now, there are a few churches in Schumann, but they're all clustered in the same part of town off to the left of this picture. So to the left of the picture, that's kind of like the old part of town. And then as the city spread, unfortunately, none of the churches followed. And so now there's this huge part of town where there are no churches. We're not even just talking about Protestant evangelicalism. There are no Bulgarian Orthodox churches. There are no mosques. There are no kingdom halls there. There is no sort of religious institution that meets anywhere in this picture. It's crazy. And if you go to the next slide, this purple shape highlights the biggest apartment, one before that, please. And the purple shape there highlights the biggest apartment complex in the city of Schumann. Between 5 and 10,000 people live in this apartment complex. Just try to imagine, if you live there, where do you go to church? Who shares the gospel with you? Most people who live here probably never heard the good news that Jesus came and died for their sins. And so, because this is the biggest apartment complex, because it's so far from any other church, we believe that God might be leading us to live here in this apartment complex. And I forgot to say something earlier. It's not just our family going to Schumann. Roddy is going to come with us and be a part of our church planting team. So we are so excited about that. So either our family or Roddy will almost certainly be living in this apartment complex. And then we'll probably kind of strategically put ourselves in two different parts of the city. So he's dropping everything that's fished off and coming to help us and serve alongside of us in Schumann. So we love the idea of living in this apartment complex. It's tricky because it's almost all apartments. There are only a few houses. We've got four kids, and we'd really like to live in a house. And fished off, we lived in an apartment for 2.5 years. All four kids shared one bedroom. That was fun. But the kids are getting bigger, and that's getting harder and harder, so we'd really like to live in a house. So there's only a few houses in the apartment complex. Right now, there's only like 20 or 30 houses, but praise God, four of them are on the market. So that's really exciting because that means that most likely one of those four houses will be our future home. And the reason that's significant is that there's a really high chance that whatever house we are living in will be the site of the first house church in the city of Schumann. So be praying with us that God would lead us to the perfect location. If you go to the next slide, it's not all about where we live in the city, because if Budovo has taught us anything, it's that we love working in villages. So Schumann is a city of 80,000 people, but it's also the capital of the province of Schumann. Bulgaria doesn't have states, they have provinces. The province of Schumann has 180,000 people. So another 100,000 people live in the province, but outside of the city. And they're scattered across exactly 150 villages and small towns. The vast majority of these villages have no type of gospel witness. If you go to the next slide, as you go to the northern part of the province, every village and town in this massive red part of the province, these are all Turkish majority areas. So Schumann, the city, has a 30% Turkish minority. But as you go to the northern part of the province, it becomes a Turkish majority. There are villages here in this part of the province that are literally 100% Turkish. Not a single Bulgarian lives there. 100% Turkish, which almost certainly means 100% Muslim. So our goal, our vision, is to, within the first 1 to 2 years of being in the province of Schumann, Roddy and I will systematically visit each one of these 150 villages and small towns. And each place, simply going in, praying that the Holy Spirit would guide us to the right people we can talk to, looking for those people of peace, like Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Luke, looking for those people whose hearts have been prepared to hear the gospel. So we go in and we share the gospel. And listen, we realize that realistically, in most of these places, there's probably going to be doors slammed in our faces. But that's okay. We believe that if we will go and if we will share the gospel faithfully with as many people as possible, we believe that some people are going to trust in Christ. This is just like the parable of the sower. You guys remember that parable where the sower, he's going out and he's throwing seed everywhere, right? And a bunch of seed lands on the wayside. A bunch of it lands on the thorny ground, on the rocky ground, and some of it lands on the good soil. That parable always puzzled me because I was thinking, why on earth does the sower have such bad aim? Doesn't he see the road right in front of him? But he's just throwing seed everywhere. Why doesn't he aim for the good ground? Well, the reason is because we are the sower, throwing the seed of God's word, and we don't know where the good soil is. We think we do. Has anybody besides me ever said to themselves, oh, that person over there, they would make a great Christian. I'm going to share the gospel with them. Praise God. Share the gospel with them. But they might be the wayside. They might be rocky soil or thorny soil. We don't know who will end up being faithful followers of Christ. Our job is to share the gospel with whoever will listen, with as many people as will listen. So we're going to go to these different villages and look for people who will listen to the gospel, looking for places where someone will say, okay, you know what, you can come to my house and we'll have a Bible study together. Looking for places where over time these Bible studies, like in Budovo, can become house churches and leadership can be developed. And we realize, listen, my family, we can't start 150 churches in the province of Schumann. We can't lead that many groups. We can lead a group in Schumann, and we can maybe lead a few house churches in maybe, let's say, four or five different villages. But after that, it's about developing leadership and then one village saying, you know what? The village down the road has no gospel witness. We gotta go start a church there. Or maybe a university student from Schumann will trust in Christ. And you'll say, you know, my family, they live in this village in another part of the province. They've never heard the gospel. Somebody's got to go back and tell them. And over time, these few churches can multiply and multiply again. You see, we realize that this, we're not talking about weeks or months, or frankly, we're not even talking about years. This is the kind of thing that takes decades. But what if in 10 years, hopefully this time my whole family comes back to Phillips Chapel? We talk about how now we got 10 churches in Bulgaria. What if in 20 years we come back and talk about how now there's 30 or 40 churches in Bulgaria? What if one day in 50 years we come back to Phillips Chapel and once again we show you the map of here's where our churches are in Bulgaria? No, the problem is, but this time you can no longer see the country of Bulgaria because it's so covered in red dots. We believe our God can do this. And it seems impossible. It seems crazy. But the reality is he's already done it in different parts of the world. This is what he's doing right now in Kenya. If you've seen some of what's going on there with Eddie and Amanda Simmons, this is what God started doing back in the 50s in India. Back in the 50s, now obviously I'm just talking about, I don't know for all mission agencies, but Free Will Baptist in the 1950s, we had four churches in India. Now we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. In the 1960s, Free Will Baptist missionaries were basically forced out of Cuba by the communist regime, and they left there a handful of churches that they were afraid would die without their help. A couple decades later, they went back and found the churches and multiplied. And now they've multiplied again and again. And now in Cuba, this morning, literally in hundreds of locations across the country, believers are gathering together for worship. I don't think it's a theological stretch to say that the same God who is the God of India and Kenya and Cuba is also the God of Bulgaria. All we're doing is praying that he will do it again. And so this is what we are asking you to do this morning. We're asking you to pray with us. We believe our God is going to do something huge. But we're asking you, his people, to partner with us in prayer. Could I get a few, maybe the ushers could come forward and pass out these, is there a few guys that pass out these cards for me? Like if you could just make sure that like maybe every family has one of these. What these are, is these cards, and I probably didn't split them up very well. Sorry, you guys get small snacks. Thank you. What these cards are is they serve as the most effective way for you to sign up to receive our email newsletters. So what we do is we have a weekly email that goes out to pastors of supporting churches and mission directors of supporting churches. So you guys are already receiving that. Pastor Ben and Sister Daniil are receiving that weekly ministry update. But we also send out a regular team email newsletter. And the best way for you to sign up for that is to simply fill out this card. And listen, there's a lot of information on the card. We don't have to have all the information. If you would like to receive our email newsletters, then all we need is your name and your email address, and you can leave the rest blank. That's okay. But we believe that the biggest need that we have going forward is for thousands of people who will join us and prayer for the people of the province of Schumann. Pray for mayors of villages who God will soften their heart and who will be open to working not only with us but maybe with other teams from America who will come and help in their village and do community outreach events. Pray that God would lead us to more people like Baba Danche who are hungry to hear the gospel. Pray that God would raise up more Bulgarians like Radi who will take seriously the call of the Great Commission and who will drop everything to come and serve the king. Pray that other missionaries will come to Bulgaria. You know, someday Bulgaria is not going to need any more missionaries. Someday Bulgaria is going to send missionaries to other places. But we're not there yet. Bulgaria needs more missionaries. Bulgaria needs Free Will Baptist in America to send some more families to plant churches in different parts of the country. This is one thing that scares me a little bit. We've been there for 2.5 years now, and we know how long the process is getting to Bulgaria, And it scares me that right now, there's not even anyone that's in the process of going to Bulgaria that we know about. We need more people to come. We need churches in America who will partner with us and who will say, you know what, we're going to pray fervently for you guys. Because we believe our God is going to do something huge. But our God, who does huge things, delights in using the prayers of his people. So thank you so much for the privilege of coming and sharing our burden with you this morning. Thank you for years praying for and supporting our family, of supporting church planting in Bulgaria. The reality is that you guys deserve some sort of huge thank you gift from our family. Unfortunately, there was not room for a huge thank you gift in our little suitcases. So what you get is a little thank you gift, but it's from the heart. This is Revelation 4, verse 8, and I forgot to write on the back the reference. This is Revelation 4, verse 8 in Bulgarian. Sviat, sviat, sviate, gospod bok vsemu gusht, koito beshe, koito e, i koito ste bude. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So please accept this very small token of our family's appreciation to your church. And I look forward to being back one day and telling you more about the great things that our King is doing. God bless you guys.